Hi everyone, and welcome to The Why in Your 20s.
This is Bib.
And Nat here. We are two counselors in our 20s navigating our adulthood away from our home country.
This is where we explore questions that might come across in our 20s, including relationships, identities, and all kinds of uncertainties.
Some topics will be fun, others can be a bit scary and uncomfortable, but sit with it, because that's when we learn and grow.
But just a friendly reminder, the information presented in this podcast is for general information purposes only. If you're struggling, please seek professional help.
We might not have everything figured out, but together, we can make this journey less lonely and scary.
So welcome on board,
and let the journey begin! Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Why in Your 20s.
Wow.
I feel like this opening is always the same. We might as well just record it.
Right? We're just not creative people.
Yeah, I have no idea how people can come up with so many different openings. And
we can do like random facts of the day.
For example?
I don't know, like random weird facts that nobody knows, and we just Google it.
How long a cockroach can live in their life?
100 years old.
No.
Is it longer or shorter?
Shorter.
Well, it depends on the humans, right?
No, I mean like a single cockroach.
Yeah, it depends on the person.
I think it's 2 weeks.
Oh, 3 months.
Oh, they have a long life. Oh wow, they can survive up to 8 to 10 months.
Oh.
As adult.
Did I say 20 years?
No, you say 2 to 3 months.
No, earlier. Oh. My guess.
You say 100 years. I'm like, no way. A human can't even live 100 years.
Yeah, but they have longer lifespan than we do, right?
What makes you think that?
Because like cockroaches, they don't die.
Really? It's just a metaphor. It's just a saying.
But it's based on real events.
No, it's based on how difficult people kill them. Like how challenging it is to kill them because they move so fast. That's what it means. Actually, I don't know. It's just based on my understanding. I shouldn't laugh because you might be right. I don't know.
I don't know. Who cares?
Hey, anyway. You say you want an interesting fact. I came up with one for you.
I don't care about that fact.
Okay. I'll think of a better one next time.
Yeah, whatever. Anything interesting happened this week? These 2 weeks?
We celebrated our 1 year podcast.
Wow, look at that.
That's so exciting. It was fun. At least I think it's fun.
It was fun. It was, yeah, it was all right.
Yeah. I think it's quite entertaining.
It was a very good presentation.
Yeah, who make that?
You did.
Thank you.
you and you presented as well. It was
no, you tell a really interesting story on how we all started this.
Yeah,
but it's crazy to think that we already did it for
right
a year.
Oh my goodness, what are we doing with our lives? How much time did we spend on this stupid thing?
Too much.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know how we can do weekly back then.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, what are we thinking? Like, no wonder I didn't have a life back then.
Oh, that's so sad.
I still don't, but...
Oh, that's even sadder. Maybe we should drop down to monthly so you can actually start have a life.
No. Who cares about living? Like, that's okay. It's overrated.
Why is it so depressing? There's so much good things about living.
Oh.
You gotta see beautiful things, you have good food, you have good company, you got to explore different places, you got to talk to interesting people, you got to sleep.
All of them sounds exhausting, except for the sleeping part.
Yeah, but you need to be alive so you can sleep.
You know, I've always wanted to be in a coma.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry, I don't know how to react. You wanted to die in the space.
I never said I wanted to die in space.
You did. I actually don't even know should I mention it here. We talk about what's the best way to
Like, how do you want to die? And it was the first, probably the first time we actually had a long conversation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably one of the first times.
One of our deep, meaningful conversations.
Oh, that's a deep, meaningful conversation?
No, I'm just joking.
Maybe, probably did. You never know.
I was going for like a deep, meaningful conversation, but then you give it a turn.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to go through. Like, that was a very big tangent.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, no, so we did celebrate our one year.
Yeah.
It was very fun, yeah.
It was good to see how far we have come. Not that we have any huge achievement and stuff, but it's just sticking through and...
Yeah, lasting for 1 year.
Yeah. Good stuff. This is... my boss always say I was telling him something good about my clients today.
Good stuff.
And he's like, good stuff. I can't imagine I took that from him. Oh my gosh. I used to get so annoyed when he said good stuff.
Can I put this in there? Okay.
Also, my boss is really old, so it's probably an old saying.
No,
as
it's
well.
Not.
Oh.
I don't think so. But who would like? What would I know?
Oh gosh, that's the worst thing I can pick up.
Good stuff.
On all the things that people say.
Anyways, but yeah, no, I think actually through this podcast, the one thing I learned a lot is about myself and a lot of self awareness. Okay, I don't know how to deep.
No,
yeah. Actually, yeah. So then I feel this is like this self awareness is part of the motivation. For me to, I don't know how to say it, but it's one of the motivation for me to seek counseling.
Why?
What do you mean why?
Like, why do you, what about the motivation from the podcast that?
I think it's just self-awareness. It's one of the prompts. I think it's first started with, you know, studying counseling and then doing placements and just living life. It's created more self-awareness. That I probably didn't ask for.
Well, I mean, technically you sign up for it.
Well, I honestly didn't know that. I didn't know I was gonna have to become self-aware. I wasn't aware that our own values and our own things would influence that much on our practice. So I wasn't aware that we will have to do that much self-reflection.
That is true. I think even though I went in with the idea that I would like to have that self-exploration.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's way deeper than I thought. I think it started with the course, and for me, it is when I start seeing clients. Because people say, like, therapists and clients, they hold mirror to reflect, right? I think I'm seeing more about myself from the clients as well. Just in that therapeutic setting and not me holding up the mirror and letting clients see better about themselves, but also the clients through the conversation, I actually know more about myself. Then I'm like, oh, I actually would be beneficial from attending counseling.
Exactly. But I think we got ahead of ourselves to kind of tell the audience our topic is actually first time going to counseling
as a client.
As the client instead of as counselors.
To be really honest, I was really against counseling. Not against, but like, I always promote, you know, like, go see counseling, it's very helpful. But when it comes to me, I'm like, no, I don't need counseling. And I don't know where that's coming from. Actually, I know where that's coming from.
Culture?
Culture, initially. Recently, it's more like, I don't know if there's a term for that. Like, I'm a therapy procrastinator. I'm just making it up. I don't know. It's like I procrastinate on going to therapy, knowing that I actually need it.
Okay.
But also, I don't want it because the truth is, you know, deep down, once you get there, the truth revealed and you need to deal with it. There's a cost linked to it. And I don't want to pay and feel the pain. So I was actually very against to begin with.
Cool. No, I agree. And I think the payment thing, it's a very big hurdle. It's something that I can really relate to. So maybe perhaps to share a bit more about your first When was the first time you actually saw counseling?
When I was studying the master course.
And what prompted you, if you feel comfortable in sharing?
I was lost.
You were in a crisis.
I'm in a crisis.
An actual crisis.
Yeah, a huge crisis. I think I've talked about it before. It's about me have that identity crisis after joining church, and I'm not sure, you know, who am I anymore? I don't really believe it, but I'm there, and should I believe it? And to the point that it's just, I'm just neither side. I'm just purely lost. You know it. You know it's not your usual self if you... I was constantly crying nearly like every day. Of course you cry and you're tired and you got low motivation. And I'm glad because we have at least some awareness of it. So I know something is actually wrong.
Yeah.
That's prompted me to see a counsellor.
Mm.
Is it the same for you? When's your first time? I actually don't know.
Like with an actual counsellor... an accredited counselor, it's recently, 1 month, 2 months ago, that I wanted to go for counseling.
What prompts you, if you're willing to share? Likewise.
A number of different things. I think I needed another source of support, like additional protective factors.
Mm-hmm.
To add on to that, and I wanted to unpack some things that I can do so in a safe environment, that I know a bit more certainty that I will be able to regulate myself.
So it's like a safe environment.
Yeah, that I'm doing it with a professional, whereas sure I can do it with friends and you guys as well. But I don't want to give that burden.
I think it's very different as well. Like for a therapist, it's less biased because if you talk to friends, it's different.
I don't think the bias part will be a big... It's not a big issue. Like the things that I want to unpack, it's not about like my own biases, my own values and all that. It's more unpacking like experiences or... stories in life.
So it's some heavy stuff that...
Yeah. So I just wanted to... It's not of getting perspective. I don't need perspective. Like, it would be great if someone can just give me their perspective and I just take on that. But I'm not looking for that. So even if the person is biased, it really doesn't matter that much to me. It's more of being able to kind of go through some of those stuff and unpack it. And I'm sure friends can do that, but I feel that it's not fair for me to expect that from not just friends, but friends who are in the counseling, like in the mental health field, to do that for me. They signed up to be my friend. They're not my counselor.
Sometimes you forgot you're actually a friend, you're not someone's therapist.
Yeah, it's hard to turn off, and I think I feel a lot of practitioners are not able to do that. And if I do refuse some of the stuff, they would feel like they want to do that, especially when they are my friend. And it's, I feel like from my side, I feel it's quite unfair for me to expect that.
And as you said, right, you want additional support, so you don't want to mix around your support system as well. Your friendship is like a support system.
Yeah.
Therapist is a support system. And something else is your support system. You don't want to mix them all together. But before you actually start or go to your first session, is there any thoughts or any worries in your mind?
Actually, before that, I did free consultations because I'm paying it out of my own pocket. So I don't feel bad in reaching out to them and just having that free consultation, like 15 minutes or so.
Also, you don't find that part challenging at all?
The free consultation, not really. It's finding someone that I might vibe well with. That was the challenging part.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of profiles out there, but I reached out to two. two counselors, and one of them on paper, I really liked her. But the way she talked and the approaches that she mentioned, an approach that I wouldn't particularly be comfortable in using if it's this part. Mm-hmm. Like, she mentioned CBT, mm-hmm. basically. Because it's not, like, yeah. I don't get it. Mm. Maybe she has a justification around that, but I don't see it. And I even if there is a justification, I am quite biased in not wanting CBT to be the central approach when I'm in the receiving end.
And that's even, absolutely yeah, fair. You yeah. have all the rights to choose what forms of therapy. So I think most therapists have their preferred.
Yeah, of course, of course. But it's just more of, oh, on paper, she was quite nice. Like, it was a Chinese person, Christian as well. She has prior experience in working in specific things as well. So on paper, she, like, I thought I would vibe with her quite well. It was just unfortunate that... And it could be face-to-face as well. Like, she wasn't too far. Mm. So the other one that I reached out to... Yeah, it wasn't too convenient for me to travel to her office. So I had to choose face-to-face. I had to choose telehealth.
You would prefer face-to-face?
I'm like in between. I'm not sure.
So you actually have a lot of different things that you would consider, like type of therapy, the therapist's background, like cultural background and religious background.
Gender? I wanted a female counselor.
And location, like, is it online or in person?
Definitely in person. I feel like in person would be a bit more anxious. I would feel a lot more anxiety if I go to an in-person one. Not just seeing the counselor, but probably mentioned in previous episodes, like going to new environments, that would scare the crap out of me.
But that's what therapy is for, to make you uncomfortable. Like, in a safe environment.
Yeah, but I'm already uncomfortable in the topics that I'm going to discuss. So I don't think I would... At the moment, I don't think I would benefit from being uncomfortable when I have to talk about something uncomfortable already. So I have to consider a lot before choosing what kind of pathway to go when I have to choose my counselor.
Oh, so you actually prefer online for now?
Now that I've started, I feel like online is actually better. At first, before that, I was like, no, in person, definitely. If it's the same cost, I'm going in person.
You feel like you are...
Getting the most out of it.
Getting the most out of it.
Even though I know it's not that big of a... It's not that much difference. Really? Honestly, it's not that much different.
To me, it makes a huge difference.
As the counselor, it does. I think as a client, I don't feel much.
Like, I never done online before, so...
But face-to-face is... But anyways, what about your first experience? Like, how did you go through that process? It was pretty easy, yeah?
It's not, actually.
The process of booking your first session?
Oh, that was... To me, that's like a later... Like a second part process. I have a very long process in the beginning. Because I was very different from you. That's why I was a bit shocked when you say, you know, the free consultation is pretty simple for you. You know, you have nothing to lose. You just go, right? For me, is I didn't pay for it because it's within uni. Normally, you would thought it's a pretty simple process. Yeah. You can always cancel it. Well, not that I encourage, but there's always a way out. But for me, I think a lot in front is, I think that's shame. Like on myself, I'm like, I don't want to talk to a random strangers and talk through my thoughts to the therapist because I feel like I'm a bad, terrible person.
Terrible person for what?
The thoughts that I'm sharing to the therapist.
Okay.
So I was like, I don't know if you have seen clients like that, but I have clients tell me, oh, wow, I'm actually a terrible person. And I'm like, I didn't say it to them, but I'm like, I feel ya. Like, it's scary to share your quote-unquote dark side to your therapist because you're actually admitting your thoughts or like the behavior that you're doing. For me, it's like that part scares me because I don't want to... If I don't say it out loud, it's just thinking in the head, then I'm fine. Like, you know, I'm okay. But I think now I think about it, I'm like, you're actually not a bad person. You are just being honest to yourself. And that honesty goes a long way to help you move on. So for me, that part is challenging, to just admit that I need to go to see a therapist, even though I want to see a therapist. But moving forward, and then...
Wait, what convinced you in booking your first session then?
Just couldn't do it on my own anymore. You know,
eventually
it.
You admit defeated.
Yeah, I'm defeated. I'm defeated. I surrender. I could not.
Okay.
But it is scary. I actually booked my first appointment. I changed it to telehealth. I changed it back to in-person.
Wait, okay. So first, in the first place, you chose in-person because you think that would be better?
Yeah, and I live on campus. It's ridiculous just not walk that 15 minutes to the clinic.
And then you chose telehealth because it's too much anxiety to go in person. What made you change back again?
Because I'm like, I actually don't know, but I think if I'm doing it already, might as well do the quote unquote right way.
Wow.
For me, I'm not saying online is wrong.
Wow.
It's just for Natalie's perspective that I would prefer go all the way out to experience the full package.
Disclaimer, there's no right or wrong way to do counseling. You can do online or in person. That is completely up to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no right or wrong way. Just do the way that you feel is comfortable.
For sure. But at that point, I don't think that way. So yeah, that's how I apply for my first...
Applied?
That's how
did you go through?
Did they accept you? I got accepted. My booking confirmed. Yeah. But that's my first experience booking an appointment. But it's daunting no matter what. Do you think you have been thinking about it for a while? Because you never told me about it until you actually...
A year ago. Around a year ago. I started become aware that I probably need to go to a counselor, but been pushing back. And now I'm getting too frustrated with the progress or no progress that I'm making because, well, I'm not putting in the effort. Obviously, there's no progress.
You're still hanging there.
That's why I'm frustrated that I'm expecting progress when I'm not putting in the effort, right? So it makes sense that I'm not making progress. So in order to make progress, I have to put some effort in. So I would say I have been thinking about it for a while. And it took, I think the changes in life pushed me. That was the pushing point of, okay, I should go to a counselor.
It's kind of ironic because we always say, as a therapist, we always say once you have the thought of, or you want to see a therapist, you need it. But as a normal human being, it's scary and it's just overwhelming, especially your first time, so you don't know what to expect. You just go to see a random stranger and open up and talk about your whole life history to them. Yeah, but, oh, you're going to. I mean, that's the purpose of you going, right?
Yeah. Well, the way you put it, it's scary. It was exactly a month ago where I reached out to have my first appointment.
What's your expectation for therapy then? You know, now that you request one.
I don't think I expected like any change. I don't know what I was expecting actually. I think I was expecting her to be very supportive and then me being annoyed with her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was like, when you say the first sentence, I'm like, is that really what you want?
It's not what I want, it's what I expected.
Okay.
Yeah. And I expected for me to unpack, like share some of the experiences, like at least a bit. I didn't. Like something else came up and she went with the flow.
Are you glad?
Well, okay, I when I say she went with the flow, it's hard to tell if she went with the flow or I went with the flow. Because I can kind of see where she is guiding me towards. So I don't know if that is her.
It's terrible. It's terrible to be a client at the same time you're a therapist. Because you think too much.
Okay, no, but it's only now that I'm thinking back.
Like, in the session, I thought about other stuff.
Right.
Which makes me a bad client. Not, like, in the sense where I was analyzing quite a lot. So, you're using this. Oh, you're using that. That, like, it's annoying. I'm being a bad client in the sense I'm not really present. Yeah, I think that's what I mean by I'm a bad client. Even though it's still completely fine. Like, it's the client session. Like, they can do whatever they want. But because I'm not able to turn that part off, that I'm even more frustrated with myself. It's like, ugh. It's annoying. Like, turn it off, man. But yeah, it's like some of the expectations I didn't... I think she met the expectations, but the expectations that I had wasn't what I wanted. She used a lot of validation. I'm like, ugh. Like, shut up. Stop talking.
You know, the therapist probably can tell.
She could... Well, in the first session, she didn't say much. The second session, she caught on. Not caught on. She addressed it.
You'll get there.
No, what do you mean?
You'll get there.
I'm there already. You know what I mean? Okay, yeah. Those were my expectations. I knew there were going to be a lot of validation and just rapport building. But one of the expectations was that I would dive a bit deeper in unpacking a bit. But... it didn't. It was more of just focusing on the present.
I mean, it's still the early stage.
Yeah, that's true. That is for sure. That's true. But that I feel like that helped with her building that rapport with me anyway. So it's too soon to tell.
That's a really important point to remember, is be patient.
Me? Telling me?
No, just... I'm telling myself, because...
As client or as the counsellor?
As client. I think I went on my first counselling sessions with no expectation.
Oh, that's good.
I think because back then we only started...
Doing the first 15 minutes.
Doing the first 15 minutes, all the confidentiality, rights and privacy. So I actually don't have any expectation going in. I think I'm not going in expecting everything will be fixed and happy and all sunshine when I'm out after 60 minutes. But I went in with the expectation of trying to make sense of what's wrong with me.
Okay.
I think that's my expectation. I think I'm different from you. I actually want...
You wanted something.
I want something. So I went to see my first counselor. I had a really bad experience.
Oh.
Not that the therapist is bad. I think it's just me. It's a bit of both. I went in, I see the therapist, and she is aware that I have a psychology background and I'm studying counselling. So she bring up a lot of research paper, and, you know, there's research so that this and that. And I got very, like, put off by that. Of course, as a client, I have the responsibility to tell her. And it's okay if her way of counselling is not my preferred way. It's a preference anyway. But then I immediately think, okay, this is not for me. I need to change another therapist. Oh. So that's my train of thought. So I changed to another therapist for another first session with that person. And I cried. I cried in the session. I think I'm just admitting that I have that issue. And I stopped going again. I think I'm just very impatient to begin with, that I'm not sticking through it. But at least in that session, I feel like I'm more aware of what's going on. And then I just go from there on my own.
For the first session with the second counselor?
Yes. I think that session done is just crisis resolved. But there's a lot of deep work that is not being explored. I think hence now it starts coming up after seeing more clients. I do a lot more self-reflection and supervision. You kind of know what's coming up on your end. That prompt me to thinking, oh, maybe I need to get some help as well. But yeah, going back to the first counseling session, I'm very impatient.
So like through the expectations you had for both of those first sessions were quite similar. And did the second one meet the expectations?
I mean, to be honest, I don't really have an expectation. I think it's just me trying to make sense of it. So I would say the second one actually meet my expectation. I was not expecting me to cry.
Do you feel that was necessary? Like, it's something that you needed for you to process?
Yeah. Mm. I think because then I know it actually hit the point, if that makes sense. Like, okay, this is actually really triggering for me. So that was good. Yeah, but I actually tell the therapist that I'll book in another session. And I booked it in because I can't say no, but then I cancel at the end. On like, I'm the bad client, I cancel 24 hours in advance and a little bit more. Like,
yeah, that's fine.
No, but if you know you're not going, cancel earlier. But for me, I'm like, I literally canceled the very last minute.
No, that's, I feel like that's not a bad client. Like, especially in the uni context, a lot of other people will have crisis situation that comes up and they will be able to book the session. So in that circumstance, it's not, it's fine. Yeah.
Scary stuff.
Good stuff, scary stuff.
My goodness. I really need to get this
stuff
away. It's annoying.
Okay, so when you were, I don't know.
How do you feel after, you didn't share. How do you feel after the first appointment?
How do I feel? I think the counselor also asked, like, how are you feeling? And I told her the truth, saying that whenever someone asks me that, I don't have an answer for them. And I don't want to make up an answer for her. And which is usually what I do. I make up an answer. Yeah, so I actually don't. As to this day, I don't know how I feel. It's more of, it's very different than I thought. Like, it's not tangible. Yeah, the changes is definitely not tangible. Like, even like rapport building, even if it's just rapport building, it would be great if there's a meter saying, you have reached to like 50% of rapport building. It's still like something moving forward. Like, there's a purpose for this session is to rapport build for 50% or 60%, whatever. And then next session it will be, you know, focus on other stuff and then also rapport building. Okay, like there's the percentage keeps going up, you know. But you can't really see that. At least I don't feel it as a client. As a counselor, I can feel it. But as
you
a
know
client,
why?
I can't feel it.
You're not running case notes.
So should I ask for my case notes?
Legally you can, but yeah. I mean, what's the purpose of it?
To see if I have built. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's so weird. Like, as a counselor, I can feel it, but I can't feel it as a client.
Yeah, that's why I say it's very difficult to separate the two, because you're actually, indeed, you're taking the box, rapport building, history,
yeah,
exploring childhood, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That means you're not there, if you think about it. You're not present in the session, because you're thinking, have I reached?
No, this is when now I'm reflecting back.
Okay.
Because I have to say something, like share how I feel, right? Mm. It's just now I'm reflecting. It's like,
do you feel like there's nothing happened in the session?
No, a lot has happened. Well, okay. When I say a lot has happened, not really per se. I cried a lot during the session, but it didn't go anywhere. Maybe it's just me being impatient. It's just I want to be done with this topic. Like, I don't... Like, I'm fine with talking about it, but it's not... It wasn't my purpose going in. It wasn't something that I expected myself to share, which is actually easier to share about what we've talked about than, like, my past experience. Like, it's so much easier, but it's just more of I didn't...
So the crying part, Is it more about the past experience, or is it just more about
just the
now?
Present? Yeah, just now.
Ah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know how to feel.
You know what? It might not apply to you, but how I see therapy is, you know, every year you do, like, I don't know if you do like a big cleanup.
No.
I do, okay? My mom always asked me to do like a big clean every Lunar New Year. I see therapy as, you know, the first session, you're just like pulling everything out and you cry because you have all the memories. I cry, okay? I shouldn't put words on people. I cry. And then you go through stuff. And I'm like, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to clean up. But then you spend most of the time at the beginning is to look at the old stuff and cry. I think that's how I see therapy. And then eventually you sort out things that don't need it anymore or things that you don't fit anymore. And then you throw it away. Mm. Or you put it aside.
Yeah.
And then you put all new stuff in. That's how I see like a full therapy session. Or not just session, but like the whole therapy process.
Yeah.
And then next year again, you clean it up again. So when I'm hearing what you said, I'm like, maybe it's just part of the process.
But what I'm... I agree. I agree with your analogy.
I actually haven't talked about analogy in a while.
And it makes sense.
Oh, wow.
This is probably my favorite analogy.
Oh, wow.
Because it makes sense to me.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so proud of myself.
I agree. Like, your analogy is great. And it's just going back to, like, your history and everything and seeing, like, what you want to keep and what you want to throw away, what's helpful, what's not helpful. And then you add on new things, right?
Mm.
But we didn't explore anything in the history. We didn't really dive into the things that I want to talk about. But perhaps, like, thinking back, it might be a necessary, like, what you said, it's needed to be processed. I think I was just more disappointed with myself where I thought I processed it. And it turns out that I probably have processed it, but it still affects me.
I think that's why it goes back to what I mentioned just now. I hate to say this, but also going to therapy is being honest to yourself. There's no right or wrong or good or bad. It's just you being honest to yourself in a safe environment so that you can stop lying to yourself and face the truth and go from there. But I always want to lie to myself. I don't want to be honest to myself. It's freaking scary.
That is true. I agree.
But looking back now, is there any... Okay, we can't keep doing that.
Can I ask another question?
Okay.
Reflecting back, do you think it was beneficial for you to go to your first session, even though it was a bad experience?
Yes.
Why?
Because if I don't go to the first session, I won't go to another first session. And it actually gave me the idea that, okay, next time if similar situation happen, I actually can let the therapist know that I have this experience and this is what I don't want.
Oh, yeah. Did you do that with your...
No.
but now moving forward, you can. Like with future sessions, yeah. Like with a future counselor.
I think I'm a little bit more mature now in regards to...
Oh, look at you grow, man.
I've grown. Next time when I see a counselor, I actually want it to be... If it's the right one, I want to be an ongoing one. I want to commit to an ongoing therapy journey.
It's a very big commitment, though.
It is.
Financially as well as just mentally as well. Mm. Like you're trusting a stranger, basically. With your entire life while you know basically nothing about them.
Exactly. I think the most scary part for me is going back to the honesty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't like that.
my biggest challenge, it's the power and difference.
Oh.
Because I feel like I have power when I withhold information.
Mm-hmm.
so then, like, in these sessions, I can still withhold information, but the other person is not sharing any information. It's just me who is doing one-sided information unloading or sharing.
You should let your therapist know that you feel this way.
What can they do?
They can unpack with you. You know, you talk about being efficient in self-care. You need to be efficient. In therapy as well.
Okay, that honestly I would, but it's not as urgent in comparison to other things. Mm. It's probably something that I would want to, like, as you said, it's an ongoing, like, I would want to commit to an ongoing therapy journey as well. And this is, at the moment, it's not my top priority. Maybe in the future, you never know, but at the moment, it's just not that urgent.
Yeah, but I'm sure the therapist, with the experience, they would be able to identify anyway. but also you can communicate what's your priorities and what are things that you can explore a little bit later.
Honestly, the whole experience just taught me that counselors are very annoying. Like, I already had that opinion. It's just cementing it even more further. It's like, oh, this question again. Oh, the stupid miracle question. Oh,
oh. This stupid scale rating question. No,
this, oh, oh. This validation. Oh, the self-care questions. Oh.
I actually would want to block out all my counseling skills when I be a client.
Right?
But I think it's so hard.
It seems so freeing.
Hmm. Looking back now, with the whole process of thinking about going to see a counselor to booking a session, is there anything that you would tell yourself differently or want yourself to do things differently?
There is one, but I don't think it would help.
Please don't say don't go.
No. It's doing more preparation.
On what?
On things that I know that she will ask. Like, for example, what do you want to focus on today? Not in exactly the same way, but in different forms of asking, you know, what we should focus on today. So I knew she was going to ask me these questions, like similar and other stuff as well. But my answer is the usual, I don't know.
Is there a reason why you say I don't know?
I'm not quite sure how to put it into words.
Okay, can you draw it?
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Can you dance it out? Can you sing it? Stupid counselors.
I wonder if my clients think about me the same way.
I don't think I would feel this strongly if I weren't a counselor.
That is true. But anyway, I'll leave that for you and your therapist to explore.
My answer is preparation. It's like, at least prepare something, like an answer that you know she's going to ask you. Like, why not prepare something?
Absolutely. Have a rough idea.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. What about you? What would you tell your past self?
Patience.
I like your answer more. Your answer is great.
Take time. It's not 1-2 session and everything is perfect.
I feel like yes. Worth the time and worth the money. I think for both of us probably is that we're quite privileged that we're able to afford counseling sessions. So if you are aware of any free counseling, please take advantage of it. That's the only thing I regret. I regret not taking advantage of free counseling when I was in uni.
I know. Me attending one twice first initial counseling session and not continue, it's the stupidest thing ever.
Well, it's not stupid. You were at a place where you don't want to do counseling. So if you have the thought of doing counseling, please go ahead. It will only, most of the time, will only benefit you.
Yeah. I mean, that's no harm. Go for one session.
Usually there shouldn't be any harm.
Yeah. It shouldn't.
It really shouldn't. Yeah, but please go try ahead and take advantage. Really take advantage of it. I'm begging you. It's there. Please use it. And you paid for it.
Yeah, I'm yelling at my past self.
Especially for like the people who are still in uni. But for people who have community centers or free counseling that they have access to, meet the requirements to have free counseling, please make use of it. Attend them, put in the effort, be patient. Yeah, take Nat's advice, don't take my advice. But yeah, I think that's, I guess, hopefully us sharing our journey of our first sessions or second sessions, that it gives you some comfort that even as counselors, we were very anxious and nervous about going to our first session.
It's absolutely normal.
But yeah, hopefully you enjoyed our...
Why are we ending such a sad note?
I don't know if it's a rant or like...
I don't think it's a rant. I think it's just a lot of people don't know what to expect. And as you said, about preparation. Some people might want to know what's going on.
Right, an essay, man.
Yeah, and I honestly only the past year after I graduated that I changed my mind, saying that I actually might be open for counseling. I was actually very against it. Not against that people shouldn't go counseling. It's just
against yourself.
Against myself going. So I guess this episode hopefully give you some insight or some, yeah, some insight. I couldn't think of another word. Yeah, some insight on what to expect.
Yeah. But it will be very different for everyone.
If you have that thought, please start preparing.
Start preparing.
Like looking for, you know, the right therapist. Yeah. What suits you, what doesn't suit you. Go for free consultation if you want.
Yeah. In private practice, it's quite common. Oh yeah, recently our friend also started her own private practice. She is a great practitioner. She incorporates a lot of
somatic psychotherapy.
She's also a yoga teacher.
I would definitely go there if I'm not her friend. What a shame.
Yeah, she's an amazing person. It's called Body Wisdom Somatics. She's on Psychology Today, so please go ahead and...
if you're in Australia.
In Brisbane. Yeah, in Brisbane, she does face-to-face work. Hopefully, we'll be able to invite her in one of our episodes.
Oh yeah, we never invite her.
We haven't invited her yet, so stay tuned. We haven't asked her yet. Yeah, she'd probably be a better person in explaining her practice. So please feel free to go to Psychology Today and ask for a free consultation. Yeah, and ask for more.
You love her, or at least I love her.
Yeah, she's amazing. Other than that, I think we will end our episode today here. We will see you in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you can check us out on Instagram. Handle is whyinyour20s.podcast. But yeah, we'll see ya.
Bye.